wrong?
Yep. Oh, no.
Well, we're here. Okay. Entertain a motion to come back into regular session. Motion, Mr. Wilson, second, Mrs. Deaver.
Yes.
Come back into regular session from executive session. Any questions on the motion? We'll take the vote. Mrs. Deaver?
Yes.
Mr. Cole? Mr. Wilson?
Yes.
I vote yes. Motion carried. I neglected a while ago on our agenda. I skipped over council member comments.
Got an echo there.
Any comments from council? Any comments from
yes.
council? Mrs. Deaver?
I apologize that we took so long and glad we're back.
Comments from council? iPad or something, having some kind of a...
That's Skip's fault.
My iPad?
How about Chip?
Skip.
Where's Chip when you need?
Chip's trying to turn it down at the main console.
Oh, good for him.
Not adjust. Yeah, Dwayne told me to do that last
okay.
night.
No, I don't think I was able to fix it, but we will get the right person on the
job.
Seems a little better.
It sounds better. We're ready to go.
Okay.
It sounds a little better, but.
Okay. We'll see what happens.
That's right. Mr. Deaver, you had a comment or you don't?
No, she's done her
comment. Yeah, just say glad we're back. Sorry, we took so long.
I'm sorry.
Yeah, I think I will make a comment. Based on the comments we heard earlier this morning or earlier this afternoon from Mr. Rieger, the suggestion that we look at these areas that there's problems in the ordinances, and I think he's correct in some of these areas on little minor things, but I wouldn't mind if the staff would start maybe when if space and time provides for it to put for discussion purposes some of these areas that and get a feel of the council, you know, what the council feels about them and how we should address them, because if we don't, it will take a workshop to do it, but we could maybe look at some of these, you know, every week or so. So I think it was a good idea that he had this earlier, and I think we ought to maybe look at
any more comments from council?
No, I think it's a good idea, George.
Okay. And Mr. Moore, you did say there were no possible action.
That is correct, Mr. President.
The only item is okay. We're now going to public hearings. Mr. Moore.
Yes, thank you, Mr. President. I'm going to read the rules of procedures for county council zoning hearings. When council holds public hearings on zoning applications, they are legislative hearings because council uses the information obtained during the hearings to decide whether to adopt an ordinance to amend the comprehensive zoning map in the manner requested by the applicant. Each application will be announced. The director will review with council the minutes and testimony from the planning and zoning hearing, and those minutes will be made part of the record along with any exhibits introduced at the P&Z hearing and any recommendation made by the commission. The applicant will be called on to present and explain their application and present reasons supporting their application. Council may question the applicant and their witnesses. After the applicant has presented their application, council will provide an opportunity for anyone else who favors the application to speak. After that, any persons who oppose or question the application will be allowed to state the reasons for their opposition or questions. After that, there will be no rebuttal by the applicant, and the hearing will be closed unless council decides to leave the record open for a specific purpose and time period. Further, the applicant will not be allowed to question persons who speak in opposition, and persons who speak in opposition will not be allowed to question the applicant or their witnesses. If you intend to speak, you're required to come to the front, stand at the speaker stand, and state your name and home address before you make a statement. We also have a sign-in sheet at the podium. If you represent or speak for a group or organization, please identify who you represent. When you make your statement, please be concise. Do not repeat yourself. If you have a written statement, hand it to the director and it will be made part of the record. If there is more than one witness for the applicant or more than one person in opposition, please do not repeat points that a prior speaker has already stated. All persons in attendance should conduct themselves in an orderly fashion. No applause or other disruptive behavior is permitted. If you have a cell phone, pager, beep, or other telephonic device with you, please take the time now to turn it off or switch it to silent service. At the conclusion of the hearing on each application, council may either approve it, deny it, or defer it to a later date. If the Planning and Zoning Commission deferred action, council will do likewise. The first hearing today is conditional use number 2017. And Ms. Cornwell, please.
Thank you. The application is for Eli and Victoria Zachariah. The Planning Commission held a public hearing on August 13th of this year. Mr. Zachariah and his son were represented the application. Staff was submitted a survey for the exhibit. We received comments from the Utility Planning, the Sussex Conservation District, DLDOT, which was a response to the support facilities report. There was no public that testified in support of or in opposition to the application, and the Planning Commission deferred action at their August 13th meeting. Thank you.
Any questions from council? If not, is the applicant here and could come forward? Could come forward, sir, and explain, if you'll sign in, please. Give us your name and address on the sign-in sheet.
Yes.
And then state that for the record, and then explain to the council what you want to do.
Okay, sir. Thank you for your time. My name is Eli Zachariah. The address 20336 John William Highway, Lewis, Delaware. I filed for application for to get conditional use, me and my kids. They're adult, they want separate entrance. In the last meeting, they had a problem for they didn't know for the parking. They asked me for the parking. I have drawing and I have a picture for the parking. There are over 7 cars can park in the parking lot.
Okay, so you do have a sketch now of the
yes,
parking?
Yes, sir. I have a picture and the drawing of the ground, the asphalt, everything.
Okay, if you'll pass that to Ms. Cornwell,
yes,
please, so she can place that in the record. Is there anything else you would like to add?
No, thank you for the time. I appreciate it.
Okay, what are you?
Yeah.
Go ahead.
Yeah.
No, I was just going to say, is it the second dwelling, you're asking for 2 units, but an additional unit, right? It's a one family home.
Yeah,
right
it's
now.
A big house. And
so it's a big, so you're going to take the current structure and divide it into
yeah,
2 units.
We got already permit. We did the garage. We have in the file the deck, the garage. We turned it to the living room.
Okay, so it's the metal pole building. Is it the metal pole building on here?
No, metal pole is the garage. It's nothing to do with the house.
Okay, so it's over the garage or something like that?
Yeah, it was the top of the garage. We turned it to bedroom
separate,
and
separate
another bedroom, and the downstairs mm-hmm. is living room and a bathroom, and
right.
for the kids one separate mm-hmm. entrance.
Didn't we look at Board of Adjustment for a for apartments for 800 square feet? Didn't we ever?
There was an ordinance for the smaller apartments. Yes, that is correct.
Did we adopt it?
My recollection is that we had adopted
that's my record. So we do have instead of doing a conditional use, we were trying to speed up the process.
That is correct.
Make it simpler?
He's over 100.
Yes.
What size?
I don't know. I guess I'm just wondering if this is in compliance with it. Or...
Yeah, I got the permit for the garage to turn it to the limb, everything. With
how many
the deck.
Square? How many square feet is that additional unit?
The
square feet of living space.
Living space, we split the downstairs 24 by 24, and upstairs, we did the big living room with the garage on the top. It's another 80 by 24, the room, for it's on the top.
That's why I went over.
With the hitch roof, and
okay.
it's
and
a
so
high
both,
ceiling.
Both areas would be in excess of, okay.
Yes, sir.
And there is sewer. There is county sewer to this property.
No,
there is not.
No, sir.
But there is to the community.
The septic,
sir. Everything around you has it.
Yes, sir.
But these
yes.
properties don't.
Yeah.
Okay. An engineering department where it stated what.
There's no sewer connection there, and it is not capable of being annexed in the county operated sewer.
We don't have any expert.
They have to join when it does come by.
Any other questions from council?
Just help me understand, please. I'm not sure what it is you want to wind up with when it's all done. Could you describe to me what it is you will have, what you're trying to create?
We live, me and my wife, the first floor, and the kids are going to live separate entrance from the other side.
Like a mother-in-law apartment?
No. And my wife and my kids, the 24 and 26.
That's just a term. I mean, another family member apartment, or I'm not sure if I get it.
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Mm-hmm. Yes. That's what it is. All right.
So it's approximately a half acre, I guess, the size of the piece of property?
It's 150 on 150, I believe so.
Okay. Did you get any, since engineering, it sounds to me like our engineering department says that this parcel has no sewer connection point and is not capable of being annexed. Did you get anything from Department of Natural Resources who would allow you to expand your sanitary sewer, your septic system?
No, we didn't expand. The bathroom we have upstairs, we use it.
Okay, I'm just trying to find out if Department of Natural Resources said your current system is adequate for everything? Did you check with it?
No, when I applied for the license, I told them it's the same bathroom I'm using, and we connect the same bathroom. We're not there. It was a bathroom, shower, and everything there.
And this is part of Hart's Landing?
No, it is.
No, ma'am. Other than Hart's. Okay, because I've driven by, and I'm thinking myself, I've looked at it, but I wasn't sure.
No, it's a private.
A house. And how long had it been there?
We've been there 9 years almost.
Nine years?
Yeah. Uh-huh.
So it was built at the same time?
No, I bought it.
I
bought it. And we moved. I lived there in the summer most of the time.
Uh-huh. Okay. Yeah. But it's a separate lot, not included in Hart's Landing at all.
No, it's separate. Our own property is nothing to do with the lot.
By itself, sitting by itself, right?
It's separate.
Okay.
I'm on Route 24, ma'am. I'm on Route 24. I have separate entrances.
I am too. Okay. I've driven by a couple of times, and I'm thinking, where is? I'll come take a good look at it after today.
Are there any other questions from council?
Yes, Mr. President, may I?
Yes, sir.
Really quick, Mr. Zacharek, would you mind walking over here? Because I must. Maybe it's just the fact that it's this afternoon. Perhaps my brain is not quite comprehending what we're doing here. So it's not you. I'm certain it is me. So on this map, I see a two-story. Who lives in this building right here?
Okay. This is the first floor. I made the second floor. My son, my wife, and my daughter are going to have separate entrances from the back. We got a permit for put the decks and everything, turn the garage to room.
Okay. So this is not being altered at all.
No,
the metal pole building is not being changed. So it's the main dwelling.
Yeah.
And what you want to do is basically get a second unit for the upstairs, correct?
Yeah, I got permit for everything.
Okay, so that's why you're here, and that's why you're explaining it. So, got it. Thank you for that clarification. I like pictures. I need explanations.
I think it's the garage area and then the area above the garage.
The house, it was connected to the garage.
It's this main dwelling here.
Right, but the garage the garage is part of the house.
Gotcha.
He wants to convert the garage and the area above the garage.
Yes, sir.
And living unit for your son or whatever.
Yeah, my daughter, my son.
And because and because the two areas are being combined, it's over the 800 square feet.
Right. Yeah, we do have an ability if it's small. We
got it.
Right,
okay. Thank you.
I would just suggest that we can't make any decision on it today because planning and zoning deferred. We got to wait for them. If it's possible for you, maybe we can leave the record open to see if you could provide this council with something from Department of Natural Resources specifying that the current septic system will accommodate what you want to do.
Yes, sir.
Because they might say, well, they want something bigger.
Right.
And then you may not have the land mass to do it, or you may not have the space. So I would say go to get to the septic wastewater division, right, of Department of Natural Resources.
Okay.
And see if they will certify that your current system will accommodate your request.
Okay.
Okay?
And
you understand?
Yeah, where I need to come to here to...
No, you would submit that to planning and zoning, the planning and zoning, Mr. Lank, who's not here today.
Okay.
And so there'll be one kitchen or there will
that
be two
sense?
Kitchens?
No, this is what we're trying to get for, like, this is going to have separate to use if
right.
they want to make...
Two kitchens.
Two
total.
Yes, separate.
Okay.
Place, yeah.
I'm sure the second kitchen is what drove the whole thing, probably. Mm-hmm. Is that correct?
That is correct.
Yeah.
Okay. Yes.
Okay.
Okay.
Is that okay? Or you could bring it to her, and she's in the same office. But you know what I'm saying? I don't you think it makes sense to... I don't know if planning and zoning made the same request, or...
They did not. But getting a feasibility report from Denrec to ensure that the septic is... adequate to handle the existing house,
which
you
have
like
to do anyway,
for.
Right? You would have to do that anyway.
No problem.
Once
sir.
If we prove it, okay.
I follow the rule what they ask him.
Okay, and go. You can go to the office. She'll show you how to get it. Maybe to contact people, right?
And at this time, we'll go ahead and continue with the public hearing. Is there anyone else here today that would like to speak in favor of this application? Anyone else that would like to speak in favor of this application? Seeing none, is there anyone here today that would like to speak in opposition to this application? Anyone who would like to speak in opposition? Seeing none, Mr. President, we can close the public hearing on this matter. And if it is the desire of the council to leave the record open
yes.
on this specific issue, we may do so.
Yes, I'd like to do that.
Right, we'll close the public hearing, and it sounds like we'll leave it open just for the response from Denrec
mm-hmm.
on the capacity of
all
the
right.
on-site septic
yeah.
system.
Uh-huh.
Yes. Thank you for your time.
I appreciate
it. I make
that motion that we do that.
And
yes,
we'll
and this matter has to be deferred anyway. Planning
right.
and zoning had not acted.
Yes.
So the motion is to leave our record open
yes.
for one purpose, that is to get the answer from Denrec about the capacity
right.
system. Motion, Mr. Cole. Second, Mr. Arlette.
Mm-hmm.
Any questions on the motion? We'll take the vote. Mr.
Yes.
Deaver.
Yes.
Mr. Cole.
Yes.
Charlotte.
Yes.
Mr. Wilson.
Yes.
Well, yes, motion carried. Now I need a motion to defer.
When you get later.
Until P&Z makes a recommendation.
I'd like to move a motion to defer until planning and zoning.
Motion, Mr. Arlette. Second, Mr. Cole, to defer on conditional use number 2017 until we hear from planning and zoning. Questions on the motion? Take the vote. Mrs. Deaver.
Yes.
Mr. Cole.
Yes.
Mr. Arlette.
Yes.
Mr. Wilson.
Yes.
I have a yes, motion carried. Thank you. Next, Mr. Moore.
Yes, the next hearing is change of zone number 1780 on behalf of Lockwood Design and Construction, Inc. Ms. Cornwell.
Thank you. This is a change in zone from AR1 to HR1 with an RPC with a residential plan community. They're proposing slightly over 200 units, if I'm not mistaken. The Planning Commission held a public hearing on August 13th of this year. Submitted for the record was a site plan and an exhibit booklet, and I have site plans to hand out. During the public hearing, we received eight people spoke against the application. We received four letters in support of in opposition to the application prior to public hearing, and four in opposition after the public hearing for council consideration. The application did require PLUS review, and they went through the PLUS review on September 24th. We received letters from the reviewing agencies of the Sussex Conservation District, Utility Planning Office of the County, and DelDOT, and we did receive a new letter from DelDOT today addressing some of the concerns regarding traffic. At their meeting on the 13th, Planning Commission deferred action, so no action has been taken. Thank you.
Okay, thank you. Any questions from council?
Well, what has Delta had to say about the traffic? Anything more than what you just said? They had concerns, but is there anything specific that they recommend, or aren't they that far along yet? Because that's a tough little entrance there. Small road.
The letter dated today is to, because they also provided a letter on August 20th, was to provide additional information stating that the Delaware Route 24 Warrington Road Plantation Road area, that there is a proposed improved project in that area in their draft capital and transportation improvement program for fiscal years 2017 through 2022. So they are in So they are working on that. There is some Warrington Road, Old Landing Road items that I'll be, the Osprey Point developer is on the hook for some development items on that application. They also provided information regarding the Delaware Route 24 and Mulberry Knoll Road area, that there is a project that they have in their draft capital transportation improvement program. And they also identified two other areas that they have some planning areas for the application, for the area of the application.
They do.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Okay, thank you. Other applications at the same area? The same area.
Well, there's only, they have other items that they are looking at that are developments in the area, and also other items in their draft capital and transportation improvement plan that could potentially impact this area.
But they're not saying, like, they're not saying it's, they're going to build another lane or anything like that.
They have not said what they were going to do. It's uh-huh. just there are
and
items
very
in,
cringe. That's what I'm
in their to address.
Thank you.
If there's no other questions from council, Mr. Byer.
Good afternoon. Gene Byard on behalf of the applicant, Lockwood Design and Construction. With me this afternoon are Don Lockwood, principal in Lockwood Design and Construction, Roger Gross, the project engineer from Mearstone, and Bob Hood, the property owner. At the commission, we struggled with council's new high-tech equipment.
Mr. Byer, can you move your microphone up?
We're going to do the best we can with the high-tech equipment.
Okay.
But out of the gate, I will say I'm not high-tech, I'm not low-tech, I'm no-tech. And I'm going to need Roger's help. Roger, if you could put the zoning map up on the screen. It's where I'd like to begin to show council how this area has evolved over the past 30 years. The area I'll be talking about is the quadrant from Route 1 down Route 24 southeast to down Plantations Road to Old Landing Road, down Old Landing Road back to Route 1. It has been a hotbed of zoning activity over the years. Kind of sideways, Roger. Over the years, there have been 11 changes of zone in this quadrant and 6 conditional uses. So development is something that has happened a lot in this quadrant. Roger, if you could start on the north side of the property, if you could identify, I guess it would be northwest, I'm sorry. The Beebe Medical Campus. That is now 35 plus acres of CR1 ground. Going west, that's east, west.
Oops.
Going west, that is a 20 acre parcel acquired by Beebe and subject to a conditional use for medical and professional offices. For reasons only known to BB, the conditional use was permitted to lapse, but BB does own the 20 acres. Going down 275, past the property, at the corner of 275 and 274, whoops, is Sea Chase. Excuse me, the estates at Sea Chase. That's a development that was approved in 2001. It is a single family subdivision with a density of slightly more than 4 units to the acre. Moving up 274, the next property is Sea Chase itself. That's a property that was rezoned HR2 in 1996. And that project has a density of 6.5 units to the acre. And finally, the next property is Sterling Crossing. That's a conditional use that was approved in 2004. And it has a density of 6.2 units to the acre. This property, as council's aware, is in level one. It's certainly a growth area. And according to the strategies for state policies on spending, in investment level one, the state will make investments and will support and encourage a wide range of uses, housing types, and densities. That's why we're here. What this is, as a result of all the zoning activity around it, is an infill. It is the last piece of property in this quadrant that has not been the subject of zoning application over the years. With that, I'd like to introduce Bob Hood, who would like to make some remarks. Bob, if you could come forward.
I'd like to read you some remarks, and then Mr. Byard will pass out copies of what I said so that my words sometimes sound a bit garbled. Anyhow, my name is Robert Hood, and since 1984, when I moved our family across the field from the edge of our house on Highway 1 to the woods, it has been at 34885 Warrington Road, which is its present location. And it's right adjacent to Don Lockwood's proposed Arbor Lynn development, which you'll hear a great deal more about in a few moments. I'd like to give you a brief history of the Hood property and its existence in Sussex County. My ancestor, also named Robert Hood, purchased a part of the Maiden Plantation in 1735. To establish a Hood family presence in Sussex County continuously from 1735 to the present. As a result, my family has paid county taxes for 280 years. Nearly three centuries. That was not an easy chore during the 1930s, I can tell from my personal experience, when it was quite difficult to raise the money for the taxes. But it left a strong memory. Anyhow. The Hood family long ago resolved to use the land constructively. In other words, doing well by doing good. We saw a great possibility there, which developed as time went on. I'd like to tell you a bit about that. During my life, I've done the best to uphold the belief and practice that what we do with the land is our attempt to do the best for the community that we can as time goes on. And I'll explain that in just a moment, okay? My great-grandmother, Jane Wolfe Hood, and two neighbors co-founded and granted land to the Midway Presbyterian Church and Cemetery. That was about the Civil War time. 1984, 85, 86 in that period. 1884, 85, 86 in that period. At that time, it took up to 4 hours to make the ox-drawn wagon trip from Midway to the Lewis Presbyterian Church, which was the mother church for that area. Think for a moment of how miserable that trip on primitive dirt roads in an oxen in a freezing winter Sunday evening. That must have been very tough. It was clear to them then that a local church closer to Midway was greatly needed. And that was the motivation for three families in that area, including my family, the Hood family, to found the Midway Presbyterian Church. And it's been there in operation ever since. I attended services on Sunday, so it's been through. The Hood family still owns land used by the church and is committed to keep it available for the church for their use at no charge, as long as there is an active congregation, and we will do that. In the year 2000, when BB Hospital Medical Group was looking for a base of operation away from downtown Lewis, I saw the hospital's possible addition as the next step in the Hood family's long-established support for the Midway community. During BB Entrance Road construction, I agreed to contribute half the adjacent road land and construction costs so that the road that is now the access road to BB Hospital was half paid for by the Hood family. We delivered a check to BB several years ago for $196,512.14, which completed our obligation to building that road. But it is there and it's available. Since then, BB's excellent utilization of the former Hood property exceeded my expectations, and that sometimes happens, but especially with the addition of the Tunnel Cancer Center. We're very pleased with what's happened there. Eventually, a dedicated right-of-way adjacent to the Sterling Crossing development to Old Landing Road will become a part of the future. There is a deeded 50-foot wide easement. This will help relieve traffic on both Warrington and Old Landing Roads, and it will eventually, I think, become an asset to those developments along Old Landing Road, Sea Chase and the others. Now, over the years, I've been approached with many people who have offers for the woods, where Don Lockwood's development will be, and they most often involve clear-cutting the woods, and I definitely did not want to see that happen.
Thank you.
Okay. With all this history, I'm now 82 years old, it happened. And my children and grandchildren have centered more than 3,000 miles away on the west coast of the U.S. That's where they work and where they have put down roots. Now my sense has come that the time is here now to put the Hood family property in the hands of a developer committed to enhance it in a way my ancestors would approve, if I can imagine that they were still there. When I met Don Lockwood after talking to other people, it was refreshing to hear a clear and business-like offer to make an attractive planned residential community on Hood family land. Don's pride and care for the excellent workmanship I saw in his developments gave me the reassurance that a job would be done that, like the BB Route 24 campus, would make me proud. When Don gave me a tour of projects he's already completed in Sussex County, I consistently saw very high quality residential construction and superior finished carpentry. I spent time with his employees and who worked with him for decades and who were personally proud of the high quality of their work and its progress. This is going to be a very good development, I think. Also, Don believes that the preservation of natural surroundings do benefit any development. In many of his projects, there is a concentrated emphasis on the preservation of existing trees and minimizing damage to the surrounding native landscape. His choice of naming the development Arbor Lynn, and arbor is a kind of tree, if you will, is evidence to me that he shares my concern of maintaining as many mature and growing trees as is possible. We believe his many development plans are excellent and done in a way that clearly demonstrates respect for the land and its eventual users. And I think there are some pictures later that will show you examples of that. Now, the Hood family thanks you all for your careful consideration, and I respectfully request your approval of this project. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you, sir. Thank you. Thank you, Bob. Mr. Moore, I'll hand to you to hand counsel copies of
yes. Thank you.
I'd like to introduce Roger Gross, the project engineer. I have a number of questions for him. Roger, can you introduce yourself briefly?
Good afternoon. My name is Roger Gross. I'm a professional engineer with Mearstone Consultants out of Rehoboth Beach, Delaware.
Roger, we'll try to move along. Can you briefly describe the site conditions of the Hood property at present? Talking about wetlands, are there any wetlands on site?
There are no regulated wetlands within the tract boundary.
What soil types are on the property?
Soil types are, looking at the web soil survey site online, the soil types are deep and well drained. We would expect to have outstanding recharge potential on site.
Did you commission a forest or timber study of the woods?
Yes.
Did you commission a rare, threatened, and endangered species study?
Yes.
All those are in your project booklet.
Correct.
With regard to infrastructure, is central water available to the site?
Yes. Tidewater Utilities has supplied us with a willing and able letter. We're located in their CPCN territory, and they've indicated that they have the ability to provide potable as well as fire protection flow requirements to the site.
What about sewer service?
We are contiguous with the West Rehoboth Expansion Area Sanitary Sewer District. Through the TAC review comments, the engineering department has indicated that we will be required and do have possess the ability to annex into that district.
Are there any significant stormwater management issues that cannot be resolved on site?
I don't believe so. We're looking at the state has enacted new stormwater regs that went into effect in January of 2014. Those regs are really dependent upon a site's ability to recharge, and we expect to have outstanding recharge potential on site.
Did you prepare and file a PLUS application?
Yes.
And did you respond to PLUS's comments?
Yes, and it's part of the exhibit booklet.
Similarly, did you file an application with the Technical Advisory Committee?
Yes.
And did you respond?
Yes.
Did you prepare an environmental assessment and public facility evaluation report?
Yes.
And all that's in the project booklet?
It's all contained within the exhibit booklet.
Can you
put? We only have a couple here. Do you have, you know, anybody have a chance to have more?
I do have probably more.
There's someone down there. I'll share with
you.
Maybe
you need to have one. Well, it's got some notes on it. All right.
Roger, if you could put the site plan on the screen, I want to ask you some questions about the site plan. Was your site plan modified as a result of the trip to PLUS?
Yes, it was.
Was it modified as a result of your trip to TAC?
Yes.
Was it also modified as a result of discussions with staff at Planning and Zoning?
Yes, the Planning Department, Janelle, supplied us with a comprehensive review of the site plan, and we were able to incorporate some of her comments and recommendations in the plan that's being considered this afternoon.
Was one of those recommendations sidewalks in the community?
Yes, we added some additional sidewalks. Let's see if I can do this. She had suggested through her review that we add an interconnection to the BB Medical site, so we supplied a sidewalk for a future pedestrian connection. She had also indicated that they would like to see sidewalks, a sidewalk connection in front of these townhouse units, which we provided as well.
Can you talk briefly about the amenities that are planned for the site?
Generally, we're looking at a centralized community area with a building and a pool. It's centrally located in this area right here.
What percentage of open space will be preserved if the property is developed according to this site plan?
In accordance with this site plan, we're looking at approximately 40% of the site gross area to be maintained in a grassed or wooded condition.
What buffers have been created on the perimeter of the property?
We're proposing to maintain at a minimum a 20-foot existing woodland buffer along the perimeter. There is a portion of the site, the back north corner of the site adjacent to the BB Medical Center property, which is unforested. It's currently in an agricultural land use, and we're proposing to create and fill that in with a forested buffer strip.
Let's talk for a minute about neighboring densities. Was I correct when I said the approximate density of Sterling Crossing was 6.2 units per acre.
Yes, let me just zoom in a little bit here. Sterling Crossing density is at 6.29 dwelling units per acre.
And Sea Chase's density?
The estates of Sea Chase condo density is 6.5 dwelling units per acre. And the density...
No.
Please, you'll
have your time to speak.
I'm actually looking at the site plan. I'm going from north to south, and I don't know if... But the estates of Sea Chase condominium density, according to their record plan, has a gross density of 6.5 dwelling units per acre. And then the single-family condominium estates of Sea Chase, which is at the intersection of Warrington and Old Landing Road, has a density of 4.13 dwelling units per acre.
Okay. And the proposed density of this project?
I believe it's 5.7 dwelling units per acre.
So less than Sterling Crossing, less than the condo portion of the estates of Sea Chase, and slightly more than Sea Chase single family.
Yes.
Let's talk about DelDOT. If you could put the February 2 letter from DelDOT on the screen. Probably hard to read, so I've made copies for council to review.
Sir.
I'm still trying to figure out where that road is.
This letter from DelDOT, dated February 2, was written in response to a series of questions that were forwarded by email to DelDOT by Todd Lawson. First point I'd like to touch on is why there was no traffic impact study or traffic operations analysis done for this property. The easy answer is that DelDOT didn't require it. The question is, why in the world didn't they require a traffic impact study or traffic operations analysis? That's answered on page one, the 1, 2, 3, third paragraph, last sentence, or second to last sentence, where the author writes, a TIS would typically be associated with one specific development proposal and would be funded by that developer. In contrast, the Old Landing Road traffic study looked at an area centered on a block, formed by Delaware Routes 1 and 24, Warrington Road and Old Landing Road. That's why no TIS or TOA was required, because DelDOT had already done the work. On page 2, the author points out, and this was with respect to Osprey Point, any TIS for Osprey Point would have required studying four additional intersections. And you see what those are: Route 24, Warrington Road and Plantation Road, Old Landing Road and Airport Road, Old Landing Road, the mall entrance and South Street, Airport Road, Miller Road, and the entrance to Rehoboth Shores Estates. As the author points out, all four of these intersections were analyzed in DelDOT's own Old Landing Road traffic study. So where we are with DelDOT is this developer must agree to contribute money, an equitable portion of the share of the proposed road improvements that DelDOT has yet to design or create. Effectively, what that means is the developer is being asked to write a blank check. If you look at page 3, the fifth full paragraph, you will get some information about progress made by DLDOT to date, speaking about traffic signals and who bears a proportion of those costs, including the developers of Sterling Crossing, Sea Chase, Cedar Valley, Warrington Creek, now Sawgrass North, and Oak Creek, now Sawgrass South. The next full paragraph indicates what DLDOT has collected from developers to date and can expect to receive from developers going forward on projects that are approved and under construction. If you turn to page 4, the third full paragraph, DLDOT states very clearly, the road improvements to be built at the intersection of Old Landing Road and Warrington Road have yet to be finally determined. Goes on to say that the traffic study done for Osprey Point and DLDOT's review have focused on the concept of installing a signal and extending the eastbound left turn lane on Warrington Road. Where it all begins is the next paragraph. If the county grants zoning and site plan approvals, the next step would be to work with the developer's engineer to create conceptual plans for improving the intersection, and so on and so forth. What that means in simplest terms is DLDOT is saying road improvements in this area will follow development projects. Without approved development projects, the status quo will remain. The letter that came in today from DLDOT indicated there may be some planning in the pipeline for 2017 to 2019, but there is no present plan, no 2015 plan for any state projects. Again, meaning that whatever road improvements are made will be paid for by developers as of this date. Problem is that developers will not commit money because there's no reason to commit money until final site plan approval after zoning approvals has been received. So again, it's kind of like the tail wagging the dog, but improvements don't happen unless there are projects that are required to contribute the cost of construction, those improvements. It's a shame that in this area, and for that matter, in most of eastern Sussex and parts of central and western Sussex, road improvements don't keep up with infrastructure. This area has significant infrastructure. It has water, it has sewer, it has schools, it has a nearby medical facility. It's going to have a new state police facility, a paramedic station, and all the shopping you could ever want if you want to shop. Today, I read in the Cape Gazette, the area gets a gold medal for the best state park system in the country. That's all nice, but DLDOT is behind the curve. The only way that works, the only way roads get built, is with developers' money at this stage. It's a shame, but that's the way it is. Now, I'd be glad to try to field any questions about what DLDOT's thinking, but I don't believe a DLDOT representative's here today. But we are obliged to contribute to DLDOT what it requires to make road improvements that it wants to see in this quadrant. That's part of a developer's burden. That's all we can offer you.
Mr. Byer, if I could just clarify, the letter that you were referring to was a letter that Mr. Lawson had addressed concerning the Osprey Point subdivision.
That's correct. That's correct. And that letter addressed the regional study that was done by DLDOT. Not just a traffic impact study, but a regional study of the intersections described in that letter.
And in fact, during the PNZ hearing, the Osprey Point project was also referenced by the representative from DLDOT.
It's been represented several times, referenced, Mr. Moore. There's a May letter from DelDOT. There is an August 20 letter from DelDOT, and there is a letter yesterday from DelDOT. They all say the same things. And what that ultimately means is DelDOT has nothing on the drawing board right now to improve this area. The only thing that will get on the drawing board is what is required from developers by way of road improvements. With that, I'd ask Don Lockwood and Bob Hood to come up for a minute. Don, if you would introduce yourself and take the mic.
Good afternoon, Council. My name is Don Lockwood from Lockwood Design and Construction, and I'm presenting this application for your review. Thank you.
Don, what do you foresee as the market for the housing you propose to build at this project?
This project, we're primarily targeting the second home buyer and the retirees. We don't anticipate having any school-age children due to the economic situation in this particular area.
What you mean is that your price will exceed the budget of ordinary school-age families?
That is our market study at this point, correct.
Have you developed similar projects in the area that would compare to what you propose here?
Yeah, two similar projects that we were involved with were the Canal Corcoran subdivision, approximately 2 or 3 miles away, closer to Rehoboth, which had a very similar landscape to the Hood property. That there was a lot of trees that we were able to maintain during construction of the site and during the home building process in that development. We also did the Rehoboth Grand project, which is about 2 or 3 miles as well from this particular project, and we were able to maintain a nice realm of trees around the perimeter and the canal that we were able to back up across.
Is it a fair statement in the developer's word that trees are an amenity to be preserved to all extents?
Yes, my goal is to maintain every tree possible. We were also involved with trying to maintain the sycamore trees along Rehoboth Avenue a few years back. If you remember, they were trying to cut those trees down along Rehoboth Avenue going into the town, and a group of people in our community were able to, you know, help quell that particular situation. And as I'm happy to say, that the trees along Rehoboth Avenue are still there and a beautiful amenity.
Finally, Don, what collaboration have you engaged in with Bob Hood to create the design of this site plan?
I was fortunate enough to meet Mr. Hood about a year and a half ago, and we started talking about his property, and he had a vision of how he would like to see this property developed, and he and I worked with Roger Gross at Mearstone and countless times remodeled the plan, reducing actually the units from the initial 240 that we were proposing down to 222, and we finally felt that 203 was a number that, you know, maintained the integrity of the site, and Mr. Hood and I have proceeded on along that path since that particular time.
Thanks. That's all I have.
Thank you.
That wraps up the presentation. What I hope Council will consider is the history of the Route 1, Route 24, Route 275, Route 274 quadrant. Long ago, Council determined that this was a growth area, and growth has occurred and continued to occur since at least 1985. This project is consistent with the state strategies map and the state's policies on spending. It's consistent with the 2008 Comprehensive Land Use Plan update and that plan's future land use map. It's in level one, as I said earlier, which encourages a mix of densities and housing types, including single-family homes and townhouses. And finally, because of the development that has occurred around it, this is a simple infill, properly located and its density is consistent with the density of its immediate neighbors. Even Denrek endorses the project in its plots comments. When it writes, it makes good planning sense to allow for increased densities in area where either infrastructure exists or can be improved at a fraction of the cost to create new systems to support growth in less desirable areas that would contribute to urban sprawl. That's all we have. Be glad to answer any questions you have.
Any questions from council?
Yeah, I heard a lot of different numbers. Number of units, 203, 222. Help me understand what you're asking for, number of homes you're asking for, and why AR1 does not suit you.
Well, let's start in reverse. The right answer is AR1 does not suit in a level 1 area. It does not suit in an area which is bounded on one side by CR1 property, on another side by HR2 property, on another side by a conditional use with a density of 6 units to the acre, another conditional use with a density of 4.2 units to the acre, and a conditional use for 20 acres of medical and professional offices. That's not where AR1 should be, Mrs. Deaver.
Well, it's just what it is right now.
I understand that.
But you won't change it.
The only reason it's there is because this is the last parcel of land to be the subject of a land use application in this entire quadrant.
I see houses around. I go up and down that road every day. I see houses. You're talking about commercial. What do you see?
The commercial would be the hospital campus.
Oh, you're calling that commercial?
It's zone CR1.
It's not a gas station, but no. Okay, I'm with you. Okay,
it's zone CR1. If the hospital went away, all the hammers of hell could fall on that property, as you know.
Oh, I'm not suggesting that.
Yeah, well,
no.
It's not going away. It's a lovely place.
No, but I didn't know. I just never thought of it as commercial. Well, I think it's a residential use.
Well, you did vote to rezone it, Mrs. Deaver.
What's that?
You did vote to rezone it in 2013. It is CR1.
Well, I vote for whatever it takes to put that there because we need it.
I rest my case.
But I just don't understand that. It's a tight little place in there, and I'm just asking why it has to. Why you have to have increased density, and I want to make sure I know where that road. Are we talking about a road that exists now at the hospital and it's going to be extended? Is that what we're talking?
Roger, could you put that site plan up?
That road is proposed to be extended.
Yes,
but
it is.
I'm not sure.
That's been a pipe dream of DLDOT's for a long time, Mrs.
Right,
Haber.
Right.
Regional picture.
I've seen the design of where that's
going. Part of it is in place, but it does not connect to this property. There it is.
Mrs. Deaver, that's the cut through to get to Walmart.
That doesn't exist.
That other one there.
That's the private road that was built by Beebe and Mr. Hood to connect to whatever the road is that, if Walmart's ever building a superstore, will connect to that road, which will cross a portion of Sterling Crossing. And then cross some J.G. Townsend ground to reach 274 and the Airport Road intersection. The road is only built. Roger, if you could show the extent of improvements. It's built to right there on the screen. And the road is almost 1,000 feet from this property. It doesn't connect.
Okay, well, Mr. Hood was talking about a road. I'm not quite sure.
That's the road.
This he's talking about. Okay.
That is the road. That's the connector road between
24.
Yes.
It comes down elsewhere onto Old Landing Road is what I'm saying.
Yeah. The idea was to connect at the Airport Road intersection, improve that intersection, and relieve traffic pressure that way. But it does not adjoin or is even close to this property.
All right. Thank you.
Gene, if I read this correctly, there's not sewer capacity for your project?
There will be if and when the developer pays for it. He will pay one to be annexed and two for capacity upgrade. There is capacity available according to the engineer's office.